However, let's begin in prayer. So, Lord God, we thank you for life and for breath this day, the opportunity to live and just soak in your glory. We thank you for the beauty of blue skies again and bright penetrating sun, just reminders of the gift of life and creation. God, thank you for the words that are here before us today. Help us to be attentive to these words. Speak to us each at our point of need. May the words then of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. These days, you may ask somebody, how are you doing? Or how are things going? And they most likely or could respond in a cliche that's become popular and say, well, I'm living the dream. Now, if they're not being sarcastic, because sometimes that's how we use that phrase, they're not being sarcastic, what they mean by living the dream is that things are in order. Their job's in order, their house is in order, things are going well. In fact, this is one of those times of life where they feel like they're right in the pocket of God's grace and peace and presence. And maybe, however, it doesn't have anything to do with God's peace or presence. It's just the way they want to live their lives. Living the dream, we might say. Now, as Christians, it's okay to live the dream. In fact, we're encouraged to dream. We're encouraged to live life in its fullness and in its glory. But the key is that the dreams we live are not our own. When we surrender and submit and serve Christ, we begin to not live our dreams, but to live God's dreams. And so maybe those of us who live a Christian life in Christ, when we're asked, well, how's it going, or how are you doing, we might be able to say, well, we're living God's dream. That's what we're going to talk about in the next 4 weeks. We're going to talk about and discover together God's dream for us in four areas, the same four areas that we are divided down here in ministry, the same four areas that we believe that Scripture is leading us to live, the areas of worship and Christian service and stewardship, biblical stewardship, and spiritual transformation. And today, we're starting off with one of my favorites, and that is worship. So if you have your Bibles, let's discover a little bit about God's dream for us in worship. We're going to be in Ephesians 2, and then we're going to be in the Gospel of John, the fourth chapter. We're going to hit both of those books today, along with some other scriptures. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. Timothy is the pastor there. And I love these verses. You may have heard me say, or read in one of my articles that I've put in the preview, that I believe these verses are the Lutheran standard verses. If you're a Christian with a Lutheran flavor, and that's how I grew up, you will know these verses backwards and forwards, especially verses 8 and 9. Did they ring a bell, hopefully, when you heard them this morning? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. That's the gospel. Gospel means good news. That's the good news. It is by grace we are saved. We're made right in relationship with God. We receive salvation by grace, not by our own works, and through faith, period, exclamation point. But oftentimes we stop there in verse 8 or in verse 9 where it talks about that we are not to boast about this grace. But verse 10 has to be attached to these, at least these other two verses. And so verse 10 reminds us of God's dreams and plans and desires for our lives, having been saved by grace. Look at verse 10 there. For we learn several things. Number one, for we are God's handiwork. Let's pause there for a minute. Let's think about what that means. We, those who are in Christ Jesus, by grace, through faith, are God's handiwork. This is very affirming. We hear a lot of criticism out there in the world, don't we? You're not good enough. You messed up on this job. You can't aspire to the things that you want to aspire to. We hear the critics, and oftentimes we are our own worst critic. And yet God reminds us, wait. No. If anything, when it comes down to our understanding of ourselves, we have to start here, that we are hand-created by the God of the universe. That's what handiwork means, hands. God has formed, says the psalmist, has formed us and made us beautiful in the sight of the one who knows true beauty. You are created by the God that created all things, the sun and the stars and sunsets. You are God's handiwork. And you're not generic. I like to shop at Walmart. It's true. Because I can go there and get the generic brand of the brand name stuff for like half the price. I think it's called, Equate or Elevate or something like that. I don't know the generic brand at Walmart. I just buy it because it's cheap. And it says right on the bottle, compared to the name brand. Do you do that? Or is I'm the only one that does that maybe? I don't know. I'm cheap. But guess what? You're not the generic brand on the shelf. No, these words remind us that you are the name brand. You can puff out your chest. God made me. I am a child of the Heavenly Father. I am His handiwork. And not only that, but by grace through faith, I am created in Christ Jesus. That means that we have the Savior of the universe that speaks in, that breathes life into us. And this is all for a purpose. If you look at the end of verse 10, the third thing, that we are created in Christ Jesus, we are God's handiwork for a purpose to do, are you following along? What are the words there? To do good works. And these works were created by God, prepared by God in advance for us to do. By good works, we don't mean, we don't want to be confused here in particular, we don't mean that we are saved by good works. Not at all. Nope. It is by grace through faith that we earn salvation, and we don't earn it. It's a gift given to us. But we live that life as a response to salvation. We call this sanctification, living the Christian life by responding to God with our good works that He's prepared in advance for us to do. They're already prepared. Think about this. Let's stretch our minds for a minute. Let's try to get our minds around this concept. As I'm preaching this sermon, I'm thinking to myself, has God prepared this good work for me today well in advance of me doing it? Think about that. When I was being formed and crafted and created in my mother's womb, was God thinking about this day? My hope, my dream for Steve is that he would preach my gospel of salvation to God's people on this November 1st, 2015. That blows my mind. Can you imagine? And what good work does God have for you this day? Maybe it's just a smile in the grocery store as you're packing up stuff for the week. Maybe it's a hug that you give a friend or a family member who really needed a hug. Maybe it's just finding 5, 10, 15 minutes with your Bible in some place that's still and quiet and you worship God there. I don't know what it is, but I know because the Bible tells us right here that God has dreams for you, good works prepared in advance for you to do as you respond to his gift of salvation by grace through faith. And so what then does it look like to live God's dream? It's what we're going to talk about in the next 4 weeks. What does it look like in our lives to live God's dream? In particular, this week, in worship, as we worship him, as we ascribe him worth. That's what the English meaning of worship means. It means that he's worthy of ascribing worth. And so as we worship God, what does that look like? So we're in Ephesians. Let's turn back now to the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter. Jesus catches up with this Samaritan woman. It's a very, very unlikely scenario. In fact, a Samaritan woman and a Jewish man would not interact, period. Except Jesus does interact with her because he's outside the box that way. He's revealed to her her sinful life. And in verse 19, she realizes, wait a second, he can see my life. He's a prophet, and she says that to him. You are a prophet of God. And then he reminds her that we will all worship God. She's a Samaritan. He says, you worship what you do not know. And you worship in a place that is not made for worship. The Jews worship in a place that they do know. That's Jerusalem. And they worship a God who they do know. That's Yahweh, the God of the universe. The same God through Jesus Christ that we worship. And he says to her, place won't matter where you worship God. Here or in Jerusalem. And in fact, you as well will worship the triune God, he says to her. All people will bow and worship to our God. So what does he then say about worship to this woman? Well, he says to her, here towards the end of the passage that we read today, he says to her first that God is spirit and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in the truth. And verse 23, he says, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father, you see that verb there? What is the Father doing? Seeking. This is interesting. Did you know God seeks your worship? That's active. He's actively seeking your worship of him. He wants you to worship him. He desires you worship him. We've gotten this wrong, I think, in the past 20 years in particular. This idea that's floating around in churches today that there are people that are seeking God to worship him. Nope, that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible says that God is seeking us. In fact, Jesus said, these are the words of the Messiah, I came to seek and to save those who are lost. In that passage and here, who's doing the seeking of worshipers? God is. It's clear. God is seeking our worship. Christ came that he might seek out those of us who are lost. And so God is the seeker. God is actively seeking our worship. And then there are two ways that we worship God that are outlined here. The first is that these true worshipers that are worshiping the true God will worship in the Spirit. The translation means that we will worship the Holy Spirit, that we will worship God in our own spirits. Think about place for a moment as we worship God. Jesus said, it's not going to be about place. It doesn't matter where you worship, either here or in Jerusalem. And that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because think about it. Remember what Paul says about our own bodies, about our own lives? He says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Interesting. Our bodies are now the place of worship. The temple is the place of worship in Jerusalem, where Jerusalem worshiped Yahweh, the God of the universe, the same God we worship in the person of Jesus Christ. And Paul says now, no, because the Holy Spirit lives in you, you are a temple. That's scary. But God dwells here. We worship Him here in our hearts and in our spirits. And we worship Him in truth. We worship the one, two meanings here. We worship the one who is the truth. Remember Jesus in the same gospel here of John, a couple of chapters ahead? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. The way and the truth and the life. But we also not only worship the one who is the true God in Jesus Christ, but we worship the one with true faith. Our faith is true and meaningful. I want to do something a little bit different in the next 4 weeks. Pastor Corey and I will be doing this. Some of you are already writing on your blue slip, and that's great. I would encourage the rest of you to take that out, the blue slip. We're going to ask you for a piece of the blue slip at the end of the message and at the during the offering, to tear that off and put it in the offering plate, because we worship together as a body of Christ. And we want to do that better and together, to partner in that worship. So let's first think about ourselves in worship. When we think about God's dreams for us in worship, the good works that He wants us to do, what good works, as you think about it, are you already doing to worship God? I gave you some examples there. It doesn't mean they're good examples. They're just examples. I sing. I play an instrument. I encourage others to worship. I make worship a priority. I regularly see ways to worship God more. Just take a moment, and I'm going to stop talking here for like, I don't know, how much time do you want? 33 seconds? So just take a moment right now, think to yourself and ask God, what are some good works, some dreams that I'm already doing, Lord God, to worship You? And write those down, or think about those if you don't want to write them down. Just think about those for a moment. Then number two here, think about what good works do you think God might have for you to do to worship Him more fully. You're already doing some of these good works, this dream that God has for you. But what's left to do? And think personally here. The next question, we're going to think more corporately, but think personally here. Here are some examples. I can be more present in corporate worship. I can worship Him more regularly throughout the day. I can change my attitude about worship. I can use my gifts to worship Him. Think about what there is left to do. Dream a little bit with God in your head. God, what are your dreams for me in worship that I'm not already doing, that have been prepared in advance for me to do? Then number three here, as God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus, and remember, that's who we are, verse 10, Ephesians 2:10. As God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus, what good work, what dream does God have for you that he's prepared in advance for you to help others worship him. You know, I look at the choir here today, every single one of them using a spiritual, God-given gift to lead us in worship. What is God calling you to do to lead others in worship? Maybe it's assembling bulletins. There's a group of folks that meet here every Friday, and for 2 to 3 hours every week, they put together our bulletins. That's helping us worship. What a gift that is. Maybe you can welcome people to worship. Maybe you can join the choir. Maybe you play an instrument. Maybe you can pray out loud. Maybe you can read. That's not too bad, huh? Maybe you can pick up someone for worship who can't drive or run a camera. I don't know what it is, but dream with God for a moment. What good work has God prepared for you in advance to do to help others worship? Just take a few seconds to think about that. Good. I think all of us have been given abilities, gifts, in order to help others worship. I think about Emil and Jan Lights, who every week pick up Betty Hartcorn so that she can be here to worship with us. That's using, I believe, a gift, and they would say to me, oh, it's nothing. It's something. This is a big deal that you help Betty worship with us, and we love having you here. Now, lastly then, and you're going to tear this part off, and give it to us. This is your opportunity to give feedback to your church. When you think about corporate worship, that means our worship services in particular, what would you do that we're not already doing to assure we are worshiping God in spirit and in truth? Now, you can remain anonymous, but remain positive and encouraging, right? This isn't the place to say, well, I don't like this, and I don't like that. This is the place to say, this is what I would do to make worship better. Here are some examples. I welcome people to, I would have liturgical dance. Now, I'm not saying they're good options, right? I'm just saying they're options. I would leave more time for silent prayer. I would teach people how to worship, maybe in a Bible study or something. I would use puppets to communicate the gospel. Hey, maybe we need to bring back the felt board. You remember that? The felt board when you were in Sunday school? Now, maybe we don't, but just dream for a moment with God. God, what is something that we can be doing on Sunday mornings that will really help us together worship you? Just take a couple of seconds to do this, and then we're going to close in prayer. It is by grace, through faith, that you have been saved. And so we do not boast about our salvation, but we remember that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared for us in advance to do. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that we remember today that we are your children, that we are beautifully and wonderfully molded and made, and that you have created us for a purpose. And God, as we think about our purpose, living your dream for us in worship, we pray that you would teach and instruct, that you would train us in all righteousness, that we might give you glory and honor in the way we worship and praise you. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Now let's stand up and with one heart and voice together, worship God with this great hymn, How Great Thou Art.